great things. Come on, he hasn't finished yet. He still has work. He will do great things. He's still going in our lives. He will do great things. Bless his holy name. Come on, he will do great things in me. That's your confession of faith. Is that what God will do in and through our lives? Amen? Amen. He will do great things. He has not stopped and he never will. Bless the Lord. He's incredible. Praise his name. Praise his name. Take your seats, kids. Are you going out? Lexi, you got them all under control or what? God is absolutely so, so good. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I spoke on the blood speaks, how the blood of the Lord Jesus is still alive, still speaking, still active, still presenting the same message before the Father in heaven at the throne of grace when Jesus went up there and he's not without his own blood and he cleansed all the vessels in the heavenly sanctuary. Man, that's amazing. And the Father sits on that throne and that blood is a testimony. A testimony is something that speaks of an event, amen? That blood is a testimony of the work of the cross. I love that song we had on the cross there. It's amazing this morning. I was going through some songs that, and one came up that I'd never heard before by a guy named Ian White. The cross is still there. We might play it later if we get time. But you know, I spoke of faith having a voice, faith having a testimony, faith speaking, faith always recalling an event, faith always confessing an event. The way the blood speaks of to the Father and testifies of Jesus, we have a voice that testifies, amen? Faith is a voice of our testimony. And not just of our testimony, but what God's word says and the reality of that that is done in our lives. I think so many times we have a misconception of Christ in us. Because of the insipidness, and I say that without too much reverence, but churches over the years are, just invite Jesus into your heart. Where's the biblical basis for that? No one can give me one. Peter didn't say that on the day of Pentecost, did he? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent, change your ways, change your thinking, change your direction, surrender. Make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Repent and be baptized. Baptism is an interesting event. Somebody dies, they don't leave him on a pedestal in the corner of the house and say, "Ah, he's there." If they did, there'd be a pretty stenchy sort of an effect going on in a very short time. I believe in England, and I don't know, Derek and Margaret might to be able to tell me this, but in England there was a tradition where if someone died, the body was taken to the home of the family and left there for a couple of days so people could come and visit and pay their respects. Correct? Am I right? But it didn't stay there for too long. And every time they spoke of that person in that family, oh, what a great man. He was, what an awesome guy. I remember he did this and I remember he said that and that. And there was a lot of reminiscing over the life of the person. And they talked about him as if he's still there. Well, he was, in a sense. The body was still there. But then came the burial. And they buried him in the ground and everything became past tense, not present tense. Past tense. Buried with him in baptism is what the Bible says. Everything we used to be is now gone and gotten, forgotten. That is, well, maybe not so much forgotten to the extent of we still have memories of our past life, but the thing is, there's a changed attitude to it. I've said it before. I'm not proud of some of the things I did in my past, but I'm not guilty. I'm not guilty. That's a glorious thing about the cross. And my old life was buried with him in baptism. And the Spirit of God comes into our life in a personal form when we're saved, when we get born again, when we repent, when we turn our lives over to him. And through that Spirit, then later on, there's an empowerment of that Spirit in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is completely different. But you know, a lot of people, when they come to Christ, just stay the same ordinary person. Faith does not make you ordinary. Faith makes you extraordinary. Faith does not keep you ordinary. Faith makes you extraordinary. Think about that. Different, completely changed, and completely different. And I want to continue on with a couple of thoughts I had before I go on a little further. And I want to quote Smith Wigglesworth one time again. And Smith Wigglesworth said this. He said, I am 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. That was why he was limitless in what he did. He went to one of those funeral things where the body was in the home, and he walked up to the coffin, and here's the guy's body sitting there looking quite embalmed. He pulled it out of the coffin, stood it in the corner and said, stand up in Jesus' name, and turned his back, and the body went down onto the floor, and he got in quite mad. He went, I told you to stand up in the name of Jesus. And the guy came fully back to life. God had already, you know, empowered that guy. He raised several people from the dead. We don't just, I don't know whether he just went and did it because they were dead or what. I remember when, who was the guy from Nigeria? The guy over there, he was a priest in a fairly fundamental church. And one day he's reading the scriptures and it says, heal the sick, raise the dead. He got on his bike and rode around the village until he found someone that had died and said, right, in the name of Jesus, get up. And he got up. He was brought back to life. Why? Because faith spoke, faith acted, faith made him extraordinary. And that's the reality of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Even Jesus said, why are you going on about the works? The Father that is in me, he does the works. He recognized the empowerment of God in his physical body that allowed him to be who he was in this life. And with us, we need to ensure we have that same knowledge of Christ in us, the hope of glory, or the hope of God's expression and empowerment and life being transmitted from us. And I think the church has lost that because, oh, Jesus is in my heart. No, he's not. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. The Spirit of God is in my life. Amen? And that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, he will quicken my mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells within me. Amen? That's a lot different to some of the concepts that have been preached over the years in the church. And a lot of people I know that have invited Jesus into their heart have a real shallowness in their Christian walk for so long. They need to understand the reality of who Christ is, the hope of God's glory being expressed through us. That's his hope in us. I mean, when you think about it, God put his hope in us. By putting his anointing in us. The word Christ is the anointed one and his anointing. So you think about that, he was anointed by the Spirit. So that's where it's all sort of somehow misconstrued over the years. But it's Christ, the anointed empowerment of Christ is in us. The same Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And God said that hope is in you. My hope is in you. This world needs a Savior. So I'm putting my hope in you to present that Savior to the world? Has he misguided hope? Has that hope been a hope of action or a hope of, wow, maybe I put the hope in the wrong place? I don't know. Sometimes we hope in things and it doesn't turn out and we're disappointed. I wonder if God's like that. Christ, the anointed empowerment of what Christ had in us, is God's hope in us portraying his glory to this world. And that's incredible. God's deposit of his life into you and me. And you know, we got to understand that, like Smith Wigglesworth said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than the outside. We need to start to read God's word about what he has placed within us and begin to get the reality of that. When I heard that quotation a couple of weeks ago, my head went every which way but loose. You know, I'm like sometimes a scanner on a computer going all over information, trying to find everything else that relates to that. And remember the night I heard it, I've got pen and notebook beside my bed. I picked that thing up, flicked the light on, and I started writing things out just as they come to my mind. And I'm like, God, this is amazing. If I'm to be 1,000 times greater on the inside, nothing should stop me from being everything you want me to be. The only thing stopping me from being who God wants me to be is moi. Oh, I'm a bit embarrassed. You're a dead man. You're Christ. You're buried with him in baptism. Ever seen a dead man blush or get embarrassed? No, I've said that before. Once I learned that, embarrassment left my life. Left my life completely. I never get embarrassed because I'm a dead man. Dead men don't blush. Maybe it's a problem sometimes. Maybe I should get embarrassed. But when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to the life of Christ, when it comes to me being who God wants me to be, where's the embarrassment? I'm proud of him. I'm proud of his life. I'm proud of what he's done to me and in me. I'm proud of everything about him. Nothing to be embarrassed about at all. Oh, I'm too shy. Why? Shyness is shyness is of the devil. We need to get rid of that. Right, and standing up in faith. When they were filled with the Spirit of God in the book of Acts, what were they full of? Boldness, confidence, went out there fully and did everything that God went. No shyness in them whatsoever at all. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Far, far greater. That's the beginning of understanding I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than the outside. What's inside of me is the life of God. What's inside of me is the Spirit of God. What's inside of me is far greater than anything this world can throw at me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Far, far greater. And the Bible tells us quite clearly, be imitators of God. Imitators. Well, if we don't know what God's like, how do we imitate him? If we have never, ever taken the time to research the full life of God and how Jesus walked and how Jesus talked and how Jesus conducted himself, how can I imitate him? See, Paul was so confident. He was a cocky character. He says, be imitators of me because you can see me even as I also am of Christ. Now, can anyone else say that to someone who's a new Christian and say, well, the best thing you can do is imitate me and what I do because I'm imitating Jesus? Pass or fail. That's the life of God that's in us. That's the hope and the trust that God's put into us to let his life be seen in this crazy world, being an imitator of God. And we're not God. We're not him in any sense of the word. It's like some people try and make out and some New Age people think. And that's just nuts. That's crazy. But in the sense that God has empowered us with his own spirit, we're empowered by him. We're led by him. We're spoken to by him. We're loved by him. And that's the most incredible thing about him. You know, God didn't pick me because I was a real talented guy and I was able to do so much for him. I was, whoa, I really need that guy. No, he picked me because he loved me and he sent his son to die for me and paid the penalty for my life to come to him. And I'm loved by him. That's what makes me valuable. Not my talents, not my gifts, not my callings, nothing else. It's the love of God. It's shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost that gives me any value in him at all. It's incredible. Some people think, gee, God's lucky to have me. Well, no, he's not. He's still full of pride, and God resists the proud. The proud he knows from a distance. He doesn't even know them and have an intimate, close-up relationship with them. The Bible says that clearly. The proud he knows from afar. Whoo! Nah. I'm so grateful to God because of who he is and what he's done and how. And why he did what he did for people like you and I is just beyond my comprehension. And people scorned him when he walked the streets. People picked on him. People said that he was of Beelzebub. People said he cast out demons by the spirit of demons. People said he did this and they pointed the finger at him. They tried to slander him. And that's why he was numbered with the sinners, because they couldn't see the life of God in him. And yet those that did see the life of God in him, boy, they followed him. They followed him. Amen. They followed him. So that life is so important. You know, if Christ is in us and we start to understand that and we begin to feed and nourish that inner life that's there by reading the word, by spending time with him, by worshiping him, by praying. Getting into worship to me is like, this is the consummation of the marriage. This is how good it is with God and worship, because you actually have that time of intimate interaction with God. I love it. We've got to develop our worship language. We've got to develop our praise language. We honor God for who he is. We praise him for what he's done. But worshiping him in spirit and in truth can't be done if we don't know who he is and if we don't know the value of the life that God has put in us and how valuable we are to him. And we turn around and we sometimes go into worship and it's like, glory to God. Forget it. Man, the windows should be almost cracking with the sounds of our voices because we're out there worshiping and praising God and giving him the glory that is due to his name. You're my redeemer, my fortress, my strong tower. You've redeemed my life from destruction, Lord. Your life is in me and I treasure you as who you are. You're the God who reigns and rules forever, and in my life I treasure you. And if we can express those sorts of things to God on a daily basis, we develop that image of God in our life. We're not praising him to tell him how good he is, because he knows that. We're praising him to develop our understanding and enlarge our inner self in him. The more you do it, the greater God is. You think about that. Start to think about that. Then we learn to live, act, and conduct our lives like and in the manner of Jesus. Why? Because we've begun to see him for who he is. We learn to talk like him. We learn to grow in love and learn to love like him. We learn his ways and begin to walk in them. We learn to have expressions of God in our life and we begin to express him, not ourselves. Man, that is so amazing. We get to a point where we fully begin to understand what is in us. And what is then in us, and we know it. I mean, not just told about it. We've spent time developing this. We've spent time reading about this in the Word. We've spent time seeing what God has done and who he is in us and why he's in us and how he has made us in his image to be like him. What then is in us is able to be expressed and released whenever it's needed from us into situations, into other lives on demand. And we don't need to say, oh, go away. I know you've got a problem. I'll pray for you tonight. I'll go and pray. No. I set you free from that problem in the name of Jesus. And the life that's in you is transmitted into the person and sets them free there and then. Why? Because we've learned to let the life of God develop in us to the point where it can't wait to get out. We're an imparter of the life of God. He uses us as a channel of his life into people that need it. And that's where people like Dan Moller and Curry Blake and those that are learning that facet and aspect of God are beginning to walk in that amazing miracle working power where it's no big deal, where it's just a part of their life, a natural part of their daily lives to express God everywhere that we go. Wow. This is then bringing into reality the scriptures where it says this is the confidence that we have in him. This, what? It's based on the fact that everything Christ has done in us and made us to be in him brings about that confidence that we have in him. That if we ask, and I'm not just saying, God, I need da-da-da-da-da, will you please bless or will you? No, I'm not talking that sort of asking. I'm sort of saying in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I've already got the attention of heaven at my demand and command when I start to walk, live, act and function in the name of Jesus. Why? I'm an imitator of God as dear children. And in the name of Jesus, I release his life into your body to set you free. I release his life into this situation to bring about deliverance, healing, or whatever's necessary in whatever person is needing a touch of God in. If we ask anything based on the fact that we know who Christ is in us, and we begin to see that we're 1,000 times bigger on the inside than the outside. Is that glorious or what? Is that amazing or what? That's when faith speaks. Faith can only speak what it has taken in. Faith can only speak and when it has grown on, and it grows in the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. And a lot of the word we hear doesn't build faith. We need faith preachers. We need people that don't just talk faith about, you can have anything you say or blab it and grab it. No, we don't need that sort of faith. We need the sort of faith that builds me up internally where I can then walk about doing the things that Jesus intended for me to do. I want to be 1,000 times bigger on the inside. Wish I'd learnt this when I was younger. Wish I'd learnt this when I was a young Christian. Man, what would it have done over my life? What changes would it have made? What difference would it have made in the lives of people I met? What difference would it have made when people came to me with their problems and with issues and I just said, I'll pray for you. Because that's what I was taught. What a lot of insipid nonsense. And I'm sorry, I'm being sacrilegious, but it is. And I'm really disgusted in the fact that I never knew what I know now and could have done so much more for the kingdom of God by being an example of the believers in word and in deed. What? Yeah, that's in the Bible. Ha! A lot of people are believers, but there's an act on that. The book of Acts was the book of what they did, not what they believed. They went out and they started tearing the world apart and bringing the name of Jesus into every village and into every location, and they acted. They didn't just, well, yes, I believe in God. Yeah, really? You're a Christian? Why would people even ask that? Huh? You should have blown them away with the glory of God even before they got to that stage. And I believe that's where God wants to take us and take this life and this world into a realm where the kingdom of God is known to be active and proactive, living and alive. And if the world doesn't see it in us, where are they going to see it? They're shutting churches down. We've got mega churches now, huge churches that'll seat thousands. You can have 50 people in there, as long as they're double jabbed. If not, you can have 20 outside in a park. Oh, no, you can't do that now. Faith leaders that have got more than 5 people around them have to be double vaxxed. And if you're running a Zoom service, you've got to be this corona thing is really it blows me away. It's space age. You go onto an aeroplane, you've got to wear a mask and you've got to be all protected. And then the meal tray comes out and the virus goes and hides in the corner while everyone eats. And it doesn't have any effect on anybody. And if you're in a restaurant eating, oh, well, that's fine. No, in an airplane, in a cocoon of a piece of tubular steel. But that's just, fine. Now they're telling me I'm over Zoom talking to people on the internet, and I gotta be jabbed. Might jump here and go through the wire. Oh no, it doesn't go through wires no more, does it? Come on. I'm getting a little bit tired of this nonsense. That's why I need to know that I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than anything on the outside. That's why I need to know that the greater one indwells me. That's why I need to know that his life in me is the hope of God's glory. That's why I need to be an answer, not a problem. That's why I need to be the answer to the problem in the name of Jesus. Amen? And the only way I can do that is to know who Christ is in me and the power of God in me and what trust he has placed in me to be exactly who he said I would be. And the belief and the confidence we then operate in as a result of that empowerment in us and Christ in us is the beginning of knowing his life, not just in us, not just the fact that we're saved, not just the fact we're born again, not just the fact that we can praise him and worship him and pray and God works in our lives now. It's the beginning of his life beginning to work through us everywhere we go. In and through us everywhere we go. I've always said this before a few times and I'll say it again. How many times have I seen people in the street, you know? I think, oh, Lord, that poor guy. That's compassion. When Jesus was moved with compassion, he went and healed him. Am I imitating him? Because that's what Curry Blake and others do. Dan Moller, they see people that have a need. They just walk up and say, you got a problem. Dan Moller's standing in the supermarket in a queue and the lady in front of knew the checkout lady and they're talking about problem that the checkout lady had. Dan heard the conversation. He's next. He said, well, can I pray for your problem that you just talked about? What, here? Yep. Because the power of God is in me to set you free from that and deliver you from that problem. So I want to pray for you now. Now, by the time he'd finished, he had a crowd around him. The woman gets totally set free and healed, and they're glorifying God. How good is that? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's action. That's power. That's operating the way God wants us to. I'll finish with these last few words. I spoke a bit about the sower and the seed last week, and I talked about the seed falling on thorny ground. And the thorns and the everything choked the word. And when Jesus explained it afterwards, he said, the cares of this life choke the word. But he also said, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things. He covered every facet and aspect of almost our daily lives in that. Riches is, you know, God provides and gives us, meets our needs. No problems with that. But once we start looking for things to make it even greater and bigger and better and whatever have you, we start to get deceived by the things out there. We think we've got to have something greater, newer, better. And you have a look at young people today, they won't buy a new house unless it's got a 10-foot TV screen in the room and a drop-down video projector. And they've got to have the whole lot on day one. The deceitfulness of riches. These things are so easy. Buy now, pay later. And oh, wow, all this wonderful trinket stuff. But the world's deceived by that. Totally deceived by that. And it chokes any aspect of the Word of God being released into their life. And even some young people I know that have been in the church, man alive, they spend, you know, 24 hours a day watching TV. And if there's a second left, we're going to church Sunday. We'll put God on. Come on. Turn that thing off and start to praise and worship. Put on Christian music. Put on something that's going to inspire the life of God in you and make that inner self grow to 1,000 times greater than the outer self. Amen? So much better. All of those things. And these things, getting these things into perspective. And I was doing well. He corrected me the other day pretty badly. But here I was sort of contemplating things and just saying, God, you know, what's going on? And Anyone getting a barrage of information at the moment? Yep, guilty. You have to start, stop passing it on, I think, because it's just getting overwhelming. And the thing is, what it does, it takes our spiritual barometer from being hot with God down to the cares of the world. Killing the word in our life. Killing the word. Let's if we're spending 2 hours a day wondering what's going on in the world, we need to spend 7 times that amount in the word of God to counteract it, because that will keep barraging, that'll keep talking to you louder than the word of God does. So put your watch on. I've just been on the internet for 2 hours and I've seen what's going on. I need 14 hours on my knees with God to cleanse it out and get rid of it. That'll stop the muck in the world, amen? Yeah. And I know it's a trap. It really is. I think it's a ploy of the devil to keep everybody's interest away from doing what God wants. We'll never become 1,000 times bigger on the inside if that stuff's dominating our thinking. And once we get there, once we begin to recognize who we are in Christ, once we begin to recognize his life will flow through us, and we nullify the effect of the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things, and we begin to get that into action in our life, and our profession is the profession of faith, what will happen? The cares of this life get nullified. They're still there, but we've handed them over. Casting your cares on him. That's what the Bible says. We're not carrying them any longer. The deceitfulness of riches. Yeah, people that get deceived by all those sorts of things, it's really sad because they've got money to burn or they do things or whatever. Got to have the latest and the greatest, and they don't have any problem filling their lives up with things, because that ends up with the lusts of other things and all the latest and the greatest and the whiz-bangs and whatever have you. Yeah, be content with such things as you have. If your fridge breaks, okay, go buy a new one. If something else happens, yeah, go get another one. But, you know, it's not anything but essentials that we really need to live with. And I think we've got to start to realize that. I think we've got to start to put things into perspective. I think we've got to start to recognize that it's God who's preeminent and the most prominent in our lives, that we have to feed and we have to nourish and we have to grow in and we have to develop to the point. Whereas if you were writing a book and you were Smith Wigglesworth and they wrote a book about you, his was called Apostle of Faith. What would mine be called? What would yours be called? I think a little while ago I thought about that and I thought, well, my book could be called Almost Made It. And then I thought, yeah, no, I have made it. And then I have, no. Mine wants to be Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me. Not just the hope, but the expression of glory. I don't want God to just have a hope in me. I want him to have an expression in me, amen? And I really believe we've got to get to that point where it's Christ in us, through us, with us, and in every which way we know that he walks with us, he talks with us, he loves us, he cares for us. And that expression that he puts in us is not just for us. That's pretty selfish. Nah, that's because he's trying to show who he is to us so he can work through us. When someone comes and talks to you about God, man, how much time have you got? I can talk all day about my God. You asked a question that's my favorite subject. Bingo! That's where we need to be. That's the life of God flowing through us. Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him? I'm talking, do you know him? Not know about him. A lot of Christians know about him. Oh yeah, no, do you know him? You don't know him unless you spend time with him. You don't know him unless you can express to him in worship who he is. And he's put it in the word. You read the word, you can't run out of expressions of who God is in your praise life. It's loaded. It's absolutely loaded. And you experiencing him puts it into a frame of worship. When God delivers you, man, look, Oh God, you're my deliverer, my healer, my salvation, my strength, and my song. Why do you think David was able to put all those amazing words in the Psalms? He experienced God without the Holy Spirit that we have. Whoa! Why? Because he sat out in the stars, under the stars, minding the sheep. When I consider the heavens, works of thy fingers, playing his harp, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And these things get recorded, and psalms that he sung, and then the singers in the tabernacle sung them, and the recorders recorded them. Why? Because they were expressing the deliverances that they'd experienced in God. They were expressing the experiences they'd had in God. And he just grew in their thinking, grew in their mindset, grew in their heart and their lives, and everything that God then expressed himself to be became a reality far greater than themselves. Once we get to that point of life, who cares what happens? I mean, Christ is in me, and he promises to protect his own. He promises to look after us. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You're wondering where your next meal coming from? Get on your knees. I remember a story of missionaries that were in a desolate part of South America that had absolutely nothing left. Nothing could get through to them. There was wars going on and fighting and problems. An American church sent a rescue mission down to get them out of there because they thought, when we get there, they're even going to be alive. This whole family was just isolated and stuck, couldn't move because of what was going on. When the rescuers from America turned up at their house, knocked on the door, the guy opened the door and says, "Oh, wow, what are you guys doing here?" They looked at him and said, "You're in amazing shape. What's, you know, we were expecting to find you emaciated and skinny and starving. And how did it happen?" "Well, we haven't had anything to eat for several weeks. But every mealtime, we sit at the table with the family and we say, Father, we thank you for your provision. We thank you for the food that nourishes our bodies, and we praise you for it in the name of Jesus." Never ate a thing and never went hungry. Whoa. Can we trust God that much? Can we put ourselves into that situation where there is absolutely nothing in the cupboards and nothing in the fridge, and then just thank God for the food and we don't go hungry? Why? Because he's able to sustain us completely. That's the God that's 1,000 times bigger in us than what we are on the outside ourselves. I don't know whether I'm at that point yet. I would love to think I was, but I'm getting there. I'm trusting him more every day, trusting him implicitly and so much more. And we need to be able to do that fully if we're going to be people that have confidence in him, that can ask anything of him. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man. There's a lot of scriptures that start off with that. Blessed is the man or woman. Doesn't matter which one it is, but they're mankind. We're all mankind. Blessed is the man. The word blessed in the Hebrew vernacular, where it says that, is in a constant, steady state of existence. Blessed consistently. Blessed always. Not just blessed, "Oh Lord, bless me." No, walk in blessing. You don't need to look for blessings. You walk in them. You live in them. I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed man. 24/7. I'm blessed when I'm asleep. I'm blessed when I'm awake. I'm blessed when I'm going out. I'm blessed when I'm coming in. I'm blessed, 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 blessed. Constantly. I may not be conscious of it all the time, but I know that God's blessing is on me. Why? Because I trust him. But blessed is a constant state. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, it says in Psalms 84. Why? His strength is in the Lord. Well, Psalm 1:1 says this: blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. How many people walk in the counsel of the idiot box at 6 o'clock at night? I see what the news says. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Go, get a life. Put a brick through it if you can't turn it off. There's a remote. There's a button on the remote. Yeah, it's the red one. It's the red one. Yeah, push it. The news is on in my place. I usually turn it off straight away. I walk in, click, what are you doing? I was watching that. No, you weren't. It's filling your head with rubbish. That's where I've got to now. And yet once upon a time, I could not, 6 o'clock at night, had to watch the news. Got to see what the news is. I'd come home from work, sick, wah. And then I heard a preacher say, the cares of this world choke the word. Click. Because I didn't want the word choked in my life. And I didn't want to be led by the counsel of the ungodly. I want to be a blessed man all the time and in him. Amen. Father, we thank you today for your amazing word. Thank you for your life that's been so generously poured into us. And we have resources, Lord God, that are just there for us eternally and forever. Daily, weekly, moment by moment, whatever. There's limitless as resources of your life. Father God, I pray that we will be so expanded within our lives by reading your word and spending time with you that nothing else matters. I pray that every person in this place will have that profession and confession that I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. I live with Psalm 91. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my strength, my God, in him will I trust. He covers me with his feathers, and under his wings I trust constantly. Oh, I'm not afraid by the arrow that flies by day, and I'm not afraid of the terror by night. For I know, Lord God, the glory of your precious word and your blood defends and protects me. Whoa. I pray, Lord God, that'll be our life and testimony as we grow greater internally than we've ever been before. And that we're a people that are strong in you and the power of your might and constantly prepared to deliver whatever you have in us into this world, instant, in season and out of season, that people will be delivered, healed, made whole, saved and set free in and through the mighty name of Jesus that we carry and that we function in. And we thank you for it. Amen. Does that scare you? Frightens me. I tell you what, I get this. I've put myself out there now. Don't start watching me. Look in a mirror and make sure you and I and everyone else is doing exactly what the Word of God says that we should be. Amen. I'm like you. I'm walking in it and I'm growing in it and I'm developing my life in him. And as I said, I wish I'd been able to do it when I was so much younger. Most of you have got years on me, so you got so much more experience. You got no excuse to grow into and to walk in and function in because of the life of Christ in you. God's deposit and hope of his glory being seen in this world. Amen? Awesome stuff. Did that song come up?